Where's Tommy?
I thought he was with you.
No.
Jack.
Tommy?
Go get him.
Cute. Man, I wish we had someone like that in our lives to be an encourager, just to stand right beside us. That's so neat to see that. Good morning, everyone. Once again, open up your notes. We're going to take a look at how do we be refreshed and be a refresher of others. Hey, by the way, wasn't that worship set just over the top? Did you guys enjoy that time of worship? You know, when Pastor Wayne asked me to come back and help oversee Farrington, I just wanted to go do three things, all right? So if you're going to be here at Farrington, I'm just looking at three things. One is we're going to go deep in worship. I want us to go deep, get to know the Lord deeply through worship. The other is let's just get connected with one another. And a third thing, that's all I want to ask, go deep with worship, connected with each other, and just have fun. Let's just have fun here at Farrington. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Take out your notes. Look at how we need to be refreshed. How many of you could use a little sense of more encouragement today with things going on in the world? Yeah, a lot of things happening in the world, from the swine flu to furloughs for state employees, to even for some of us, the passing of Michael Jackson. You know, we need to be encouraged. That kind of has overshadowed what's going on in North Korea right now. International news, you've been keeping up with that? North Korea preparing, and the word was they were going to launch a missile test. And guess where the target was, folks? Right here in the middle of the Pacific. Well, they've kind of rearranged those mileages and stuff, but still, South Korean army has been kind of moving up towards the border, getting ready for some kind of altercation. We don't know what it is. And I said to my wife, Joy, man, there's so much uncertainty in the world. I mean, if something happens in Korea, that's it. She goes, what do you mean? I said, if North Korea advances, South Korea responds, no more Korean dramas. We're done. We got nothing else. I said, what are we going to do with our free time at night now, you know? You know, we all could use a little bit of encouragement today. No matter how much we do in life, how many times we may think we're doing the Lord's work, we still need encouragement. It happened to Paul, the Apostle Paul. We know him as the author of over half of the New Testament that we read today. You think he needed encouragement? Sure did. Regardless of what he had invested into the ministry, when he came towards the end of his ministry, when he was going to lose his life, you know how many of his friends stuck around? Nobody, just one person. We're going to read that. Take a look at your notes, very top there. Read with me 2 Timothy together. Paul is writing to his protege, Timothy. Ready? Go. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But he eagerly searched for me and found me. Underline this phrase. He often refreshed me. Onesiphorus. Everyone say that. Onesiphorus. That's the man we're going to be talking about today. His name actually means bring help or to bring a prophet. He was a man who actually lived up to his name. When Paul was in prison, Onesiphorus brought help. He refreshed his spirit. How many of you are living up to your name? You know what your name means? You know what my name means? Elwin? Friend of the elves. That's who I am. And people say to me, but aren't you a Christian? I said, yeah, I am. Then how can you be a friend of elves? I said, that's just my name. You know, I never really liked my name. It's a very simple name, E-L-W-I-N. Yet it's often spelled Elvin, Alvin, Edwin, Elwood. I even had a letter addressed to me, 11. How do you get that? When I introduced myself to others, this man on the mainland, I met with him, and I said, hi, my name is Elwin. He said, hi, Howard, how are you? Howard. And you tag that together with my last name, simply A-H-U, Ahu. And I get Elvin Ahi, Elwood Aku, An, Alu. I just hated my name. Until one day I was walking here on campus and a brother said to me, Elwin, I like that name. I said, really? He said, yeah. See, in Hebrew, El means God. And you have win tag to that. God wins. God wins in your life. I like that name. I said, yeah, I always love my name. It was very appropriate. What about your name? Are you living up to your name? Do you know what it means? Onesiphorus, a man who brings good, who brings profit. He was a refresher. He was a man who I think we need more of in this world today. With the emergence of all these social networkings, MySpace, Facebook, we have Twitter now, chat room. If you're watching it online, there's actually a chat room that you can begin to chat with others as a service is going on. Hopefully you're not talking while I'm talking, all right? But we have all of these social networkings that produce more acquaintances, more online buddies, but we're developing less and less meaningful relationships with one another. People who care deeply about you, who are willing to go out of their way for your sake. We have less and less real friends. But you know, folks, the world needs more Onesiphoruses. The world needs to be encouraged more, don't we? The world needs more friends.
True friendship isn't seen with the eyes. It is felt with the heart when there is trust, understanding, loyalty, and sharing. True friendship is a rare feeling, but when it is found, it has profound impact on our well-being, our strength, and our character. True friendship does not need elaborate gifts or spectacular events in order to be valuable or valued. To ensure long-lasting quality and satisfaction, true friendship only needs a few key ingredients: undying loyalty, unmatched understanding, unsurpassed trust, deep and soulful secrets, and endless sharing. These ingredients, mixed with personality and a sense of humor, can make a friendship last a lifetime.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing's going right, no. Is night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, oh. Winter, spring,
people can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you.
Friends like these guys. You guys friends? Buddies? How about you guys? Friends? Together? Connected? Notice a disconnect right here. I love these two. They're more than friends. They're dear sisters. Just love them. We need more friends in this world. Not just people on your Facebook, not people typing in saying, will you be my friend? People who are so willing to go deep with you, to be refreshers of your soul. Onesiphorus, who was he? You know, the Bible doesn't tell us much about what he did. All we know is that he stepped into the life of Paul at a time that Paul needed him the most. What did he say? We don't know what he said. But Paul found it so significant that when he wrote his letter to Timothy, one of the last letters he ever written, he said to Timothy, don't forget about a man named Onesiphorus, because he's refreshed my soul. He's changed my life. Paul went through some tough times in ministry. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. Many times they tried to stone him to death. Many times they tried to exterminate Paul. And I wonder what his ministry would have been like if it was not for a man named Onesiphorus. Would we have the New Testament as it is today? He was that important. And maybe Paul was saying to Timothy, write this down because I want people here today to know the importance of being a refresher, an encourager. Can you imagine the difference it would make in your families? If we all learned to be encouragers in our families, to encourage one another, how much better our families could be, our relationships could become. Imagine what our church would be like if we were all refreshers of spirits. I just love our greeters, where they greet and they hand out your bulletin, they smile and they give you a hug and they write you a name tag, for those of you who allow them to write your name tag, and they greet you with such a spirit that you want to be here. Imagine if we were all greeters, that we would all greet one another. It would make a huge difference in our parking lot when you're trying to leave here this morning. After you. Rather than saying, would you get out of my way? I just got out of church. I got to pick up lunch, pick up my kids, and get to the golf game. You know, if we're all encouragers and refreshers, what difference would it make in this community? For our state? For your workplace? You know, someone once said this, and don't know how true it is, but I'll just say it for the sake of this message. They said that Hawaii, they have a prophecy, a prophetic word, that Hawaii would be the first all-Christian state. Do you believe that? If you believe it, then it has to start with us being refreshers of spirits and encouragers of those around us. Refresher. What are the qualities of a refresher? Let me give you three today. Number one, would you fill this in your notes there? A refresher is someone who's willing to breathe life into the life of another. Onesiphorus had a way of breathing life into Paul's when he needed him the most. What a compliment it would be for you, wouldn't it? If someone said to you, man, I love it when you're around, you just bring a breath of fresh air to everything around us. You know people like that? When they step into your presence, everything just kind of changes. The whole atmosphere just kind of lifts up a bit. They're refreshers. They breathe life. Their presence revives your soul. And I think many times we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds, because if we're not careful about intentionally bringing life to people's souls, guess what we do on the other hand? We suck life out of people's souls. You know people like that? Who, when you're in their presence, they just suck the life out of you. Don't look around. Just look at me. You agree. There are people like that. They complain. They monku. They're just not satisfied. They have a reason to beef with everyone in the world because they're a victim. You know, they go through these problems and they can't wait to unload that problem on somebody else. You know what he did? You know what she did? You know, nothing wrong with problems. We all go through problems. We all will continually go through problems. Here's the point I'm trying to make, though. If you have a problem within you, if you're going through an issue right now, find a way to resolve the problem. Don't allow issues to go unresolved. Seek out the counsel that you need. Find the help that you need. And resolve the hurt on the inside. Because you can't help someone on the outside if you're still hurting on the inside. Would you write this down somewhere, folks? Hurt people hurt people. It's not a redundant statement. Hurt people, people who are hurting on the inside, will hurt others around them. And there's a way and a reason why we should not allow unresolved issues to continue. Whatever it may be, find a way of resolving it. Because God wants to become more refreshers of life, encouragers in other people's lives. You know, a lot of times when we think about refreshers, they are those who will resuscitate a soul that's dying. And to resuscitate a soul, we got to breathe life into the body. Imagine if you had training in CPR, which teaches us how to breathe life and to resuscitate a body. Imagine if you had some training and someone collapsed around you and you walk up there and you say, you know, I've been certified. I'm a certified CPR expert. Move aside. You step over the body, and rather than breathing life into the body, instead you suck air out of the body. I mean, imagine how people around you are looking at you. Are you crazy? You're killing the guy. Will you get out of here? But sometimes we suck life out of people rather than breathe life into people. We do it by sharing our problems, or we may do it by just placing blame. But imagine if Onesiphorus showed up at Paul's prison cell and said to him, "You idiot. Didn't I tell you this was going to happen? Why didn't you listen to me?" And these famous words that we often say, "I told you so." I mean, that just sucks the life out of someone. Refreshers, on the other hand, breathe life into people. They allow themselves to be refreshed, but also breathe life into them. Because either we will breathe life into someone's life when we're in the presence of others, or we will suck life away from them. Read that scripture next there, 2 Corinthians 2. Ready? Go. "For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life." Let me ask you, what is your aroma when you walk into a room? What is your aroma when you're amongst other people? When you step into their presence, see, do they say, "Ah, what's that smell?" Or do they say, "Oh, what's that smell? Who just walked into the room?" And that's why people give me this lay, so I can smell good when I'm in their presence. But you know, by your spirit on the inside, you will give off an aroma whenever you're in the presence of someone else. Either you will give off an aroma from life to life or an aroma from death to death. What's your aroma? It's all going to depend upon what you use to refresh yourself. Don't we, when we're trying to impress someone, say you're going out on a first date or you're going to pick up your girlfriend or you girls are waiting for the guy to pick you up, you get yourself all nice and dressed, you take a nice shower and you fix up your hair in a beautiful outfit that's becoming of you. What is the very last thing you make sure you do before that guy rings the doorbell? What do you do? Yeah, you pop a breath mint in your mouth. Yeah, you want to refresh in your mouth. Because imagine if you look so nice on the outside, And the guy opens the door and you say, hi, how are you? And the guy just kind of melts right before you. You know, we got to freshen ourselves if we're going to refresh other people around us. And so many times we don't take the time to refresh our insides. We try to look like good Christians. We try to look like good people. But what comes out, it just kills the other person. What's the best way to refresh yourself? The Word of God. By allowing the Word of God to refresh your spirit. Read what John 4 says with me. Ready? Go. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up from eternal life. There's a refreshment that never ends. And the point is, every single day we need to find a way of refreshing ourselves so that we can be a refresher of others. And it happens in your devotions. Doing your daily devotions. You know, I've been trying to make sure that our little boy Jared does his devotions. We noticed that he'll be turning 7 next month. And his attitude has been acting up a little. And so Joy and I decided we need to get him into the Word of God. And so we picked up one of these children's journals. We have it available at our bookstore. And within it is the required reading that we all go through as adults, but it only requires them to read 1 or 2 verses. And so Jared's been doing this since May, and he hasn't missed a day. He calls it his Bible study. So first thing in the morning, he'll wake up, he'll walk out into the living room with his Bible and his journal, and he'll sit down and he says, Daddy, I'm ready for my Bible study. See, I will not let him go out the door that day without him being refreshed and equipped with the Word of God, because he's going to face some situation that I want him to know how to deal with it according to God's way. He's come across some scriptures that talk about obeying your mom and dad, listening to God. One day he came across 2 Kings that talked about Elijah. One verse now on Elijah. Some of us, we got to read historical accounts of who this guy was. He took that one verse and he developed a very simple journal that I want you to hear. I had him come out last evening to read it, but he has baseball today. And so we recorded it, and I want you to see what he read to the audience last night. Take a look at this. Okay, you're going to read it to me. And then they're just going to listen, okay? All right, here, read from up here, maybe the whole thing. Right, yeah, let me hold this. Way. Okay, go.
Kings 2:8. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the waters with it. It is weird to strike the water, but Elijah did it. If God tells me to do something that is weird, I need to do it. Dear God, you can tell me anything, and I will do it. Amen.
Okay, that's all. Thank you. I think he wanted to preach the word that night, but I'm not sure. See how simple that was? But Elijah folding his cloak, striking the water. His observation, it is weird to strike the water, but Elijah did it. His application, if God tells me to do something that is weird, I need to do it. His prayer, dear God, you can tell me anything, and I will do it. Amen. Did that refresh your soul today? Refresh me? It refreshed his spirit. Now, has he turned into an angel? No, not yet. But we're praying that every day that he gets refreshed with God's word, he will become a refresher of others, his classmates. He'll be a better son. But God's word needs to refresh you, folks. Because if it's not, if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not doing your devotions every day, that's about the same as not taking a bath every day. The same as not brushing your teeth every day. Imagine if you go and meet someone that you're trying to refresh and you haven't taken a bath for weeks or haven't brushed your teeth for weeks and you open your mouth. Is that going to refresh somebody? It's going to like drive them away. Like, what's that smell around here, you know? It starts with us refreshing our insides before we can refresh those on the outside. When you're reading your Bibles, in fact, in your bulletin, how appropriate, we have a brand new Bible bookmark that we want to encourage you to follow along. And at the very bottom of that bookmark, you're going to see four things that you should look for that's going to help you in your reading. Lessons to be learned, something as simple as what Jared just wrote. Examples to be followed. Promises to be enjoyed. Jesus to be revealed. You find any one of those in your journals and your devotions, it will refresh your spirit. And as it does so, you then can stand as an encourager of others. Onesiphorus, he was refreshed by the Lord, and he refreshed Paul as well. Number two, refreshers. They're stabilizers of the spirits of others. They will step into any situation, and because of a genuine concern for that person, they will not allow the circumstances around them to dictate and redefine their relationship. They will not allow the circumstances to shape their attitude towards that person or what needs to be done. They are stabilizers. To give you a little more context about 2 Timothy, where Paul was writing to his protege. It happened at a time when Nero, the emperor, was trying to exterminate all the Christians. That's why he had Paul jailed and he had him chained up. He didn't want Paul going around anymore. He was going to kill off all the Christians. And here is Onesiphorus receiving word that Paul is in prison. He doesn't know where Paul is, but he shows up, and despite all the risks, he could have been jailed himself. He could have been ridiculed. Despite all of that, he went out and sought Paul. How? Look at the very top of your note again, that scripture there. He eagerly sought me out. He had such a genuine concern for Paul that nothing kept him away from establishing that relationship and bringing a sense of stability to Paul's life. He was a refresher, a person that never allowed the circumstances to dictate his relationship with him. And just the fact that he was there, because again, we don't know what he said to Paul. Maybe just the fact that he found Paul and was there, and Paul saw his trust in the Lord, allowed Paul's spirit to be settled. I've walked into many hospital rooms. When a person is dying, families are gathering around the body. They're going to decide whether to pull the plug or not. And there's just an emotional roller coaster ride that's going on, or there's a sudden death in a family. And I would step into the hospital room and speak a little bit of a word of God, but I trusted that God had his hand on this whole situation. And just by being there, you could just see the Spirit settle. How about you? Do you possess such a trust in the Lord that by your presence, you can stabilize a situation? You know, maybe nothing that you say more than the fact that Jesus loves you and Jesus cares for you. Will that be enough to stabilize you? See, Onesiphorus didn't allow the circumstances to dictate his life. Read Proverbs 17 with me. Ready? Go. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Underline, at all times. It's not when he felt like it, not when the conditions were just right. It's not, well, it's too risky for me to come at this time. It's not, I told you so you go face that by yourself then. No. Onesiphorus had such a genuine concern for him that his relationship stayed the same regardless of the circumstances. Read with me what Philippians 4 says. Ready? Go. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I get tested about this a lot. And I am so thankful that the Lord has allowed me a platform to speak, because It teaches me that I got to really watch my life and what's happening around me. And when you put that together with a son being in baseball in the secular world, I tell you, those two worlds collide all the time. And I get tested on this. The other day, Jared was, I told you that he's moved up a level. He was the oldest kid starting lineup where he got all the attention and he was very focused at this level. Now he's the youngest at this level where the other kids get all the attention. They're the starting lineup. Where does he play? Outfield, outfield, outfield. So he's less focused this season. Well, he was standing in line one day and getting ready to base run. And rather than paying attention forward, he turned around and started kicking dirt on this kid in the back. And I looked at that and I watched him. And you see, I can't go to his games now because they're on Sundays during the summertime. The only time I get to see him play is Tuesdays and Thursdays, his practice time. And I'm watching this take place. He then begins to spit. You know how baseball players spit? He hasn't figured out yet that you never spit into the wind, though. So he kind of sucked it up and he spat out into the wind. He's quick enough that when the wind blew it back, he moved aside and hit the player in the back. Now they're getting into a little skirmish, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, my son. I looked at Joy, I said, your boy over there in line. So as they're driving home, he says, Dad, did I do good today? I says, you're right. We got home, unloaded the car, slammed the car door, opened up the trunk, grabbed the gear, I slammed the trunk. He looked at me and said, quit slamming things. I said, well, then practice better. We get into the house, go take a bath. I said, Jared. And he walked away. He was just upset the way that I treated him. Right when I said to him, go take a bath, he looked at me and I said, you know, Jared, you know that I can't watch your games on Sundays. You know that I can only watch you Tuesdays and Thursdays. So play your practices like you're playing the real game. If you're going to play like that today, why should I even show up at your practice? And it really struck him. Took a shower. As soon as I said that, the Lord just convicted my heart. And the Lord said to me, is that how I treat you? If you don't live your life the right way, why should I even show up? Do I ever say that to you? Man, I felt so bad when he came out of the shower. I said, Jared, come here. No. I said, will you just come here? Walked over to me. I said, Jared, you know, you've been playing, and I've watched you play last year. And I said, I know you can play baseball. Don't please me. I don't want you to play well to please Dad. I want you to play well so you can be the best that God made you to be. I know He made you able to play the game. So just like when you go to school, be the best student that you can be. When you're with your mom, be the best son that you can be. You know, when I cook for you and your mom, I don't just throw food together and say, hey, I eat this slop, whatever that is. I try to cook the best way that I can. Because, yeah. So whatever you do, Jared, do it as if unto God. You know what he said to me? We just read that in the Bible. I said, you're right. It's not me telling you this. It's God telling you this, all right? So you better listen. But it really convicted me that I was allowing my circumstances to redefine my relationship with my son. Be careful about that, folks. See, stabilizers, they know the Word of God. They trust in the Word of God. And they bring stability to a relationship. It's not contingent upon things around them. It's determined by what the Word of God says to their lives. Stabilizers. We need more of them. Number three, finally, a refresher is someone who takes the risk to make a difference. Takes the risk to make a difference. Onesiphorus took the risk because his life was others' focus. He was never focused on his own safety, his own will, his own agenda. He was more interested in Paul than he was in himself. He took the risk of being ridiculed. He took the risk of being rejected. But because he did what he did for Paul's life, we have a wonderful New Testament to read today. See, when we do things good for the Lord and we take that risk, without understanding what the rewards may be here, we got to trust that God sees what we're doing and God never overlooks the things that we do here. Read with me what Hebrews says there. Ready? Go. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name. In having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. God sees what we're doing, and the rewards may be that what we'll receive later on. Don't stop doing good. Don't stop refreshing others, even if it's a risk. If God says to you, in your workplace, there's this guy that you need to refresh today. Oh, God, that's kind of weird. You know I don't like this guy. You know he doesn't like me. If it's weird, are you still willing to do it? It's a huge risk. Are you willing to take the risk? So you may not know what difference it's going to make in that person's life. And you may not even need to know the results of that. But if God is asking you to do it, will you do it? I want you to see a story of a coach of a football team that took a huge risk. But because he did so, it made a big difference, a huge difference, a life-changing difference in the lives of some football players. Interesting thing, it was not his own team. Let's take a look at this video.
When you walk around the grounds of Gainesville State School, you'll see just about everything you would on any other high school campus. There are students, teachers, a computer lab, and a gym. Except here, the students are convicted criminals.
It's an incarceration facility for kids that have violated the law.
Each day starts in a tiny dorm room they call home and continues marching from class to class, abiding by a strict schedule. In fact, the one thing that makes them feel like kids again is football.
I'm just like the role model on campus, you know what I'm saying? Everybody want to play on the football team.
Just to put on a Tornadoes uniform is a reward, not a right. You must have good behavior and good grades. Not to mention, every game is played on the road, but it's worth it to escape on Friday nights and enjoy a small piece of freedom they gave up. But each week, there comes that constant reminder of who they are and what they've done.
They don't treat us as a regular person in the world. They treat us like we're just some alien, just from somewhere out of nowhere. I mean, they look at us like animals in a cage, like we don't deserve a second chance or another opportunity to be something in life.
After hearing the ridicule and losing 8 straight weeks, the Tornadoes were once again on the road, traveling to play private school power Grapevine Faith for the first time, who had moved up a division. Their head coach, Chris Hogan, had a game plan in mind, and it had nothing to do with football.
We were going to show them that in this country, if you make the right decisions, people will get on your side and support you, and it doesn't matter what your background is. You can make it.
In a selfless suggestion, Coach Hogan sent out an email and requested his fans, his players, parents, do something so out of the ordinary in the football culture. He asked them to cheer for Gainesville State.
These young men will not have any fans outside of the faculty from their own school. Their parents will not be there. I want some Lion fans to sit on the visitor side and cheer for the Gainesville team throughout the game.
I thought, okay, this is cool that Chris wants us to do this leading up to it. But getting there that night, it was so easy to transition from being a fan for the Faith Lions to a fan for the Tornadoes.
You know, the idea of giving and just being there to support those kids, those young men that have never had that before.
So for the first time, the always on the road Tornadoes would feel as if they were at home. And as kickoff approached, it was obvious something was different.
It looked like they thought they were at the wrong end of the field because they know they don't have any fans.
And we just looking. I just looked. I just kept doing my plays. I seen how they were split up, but I figured they just didn't have enough room on their side. I want y'all to line up in the line. They're making a spirit line. I like, say, what, coach? What you say? Can you repeat that? And he said, they're making a spirit line for y'all to run through. I like, yeah, that's what's up, sir. That's what's up.
When it happened, it was just... it was dynamic. It was one of the most unbelievable things I'd ever seen.
When I ran through this, like, I felt like it was just like some, like, angels was on me. That's all I felt. Because I was just running through it as fast as I can. I just feel the wind rushing my face.
That feeling of being unleashed lasted throughout the game, and so did the cheers.
We had a penalty like the third play of the game, and I heard booing behind me. I turned around, and it was the Grapevine fan.
I remember when I was making like a play, I made a tackle, and people yelling my name. I'm like, I don't even know these people.
They were just like ours that night. I can remember rooting for their little quarterback, and I felt like he belonged to me.
Our kids were their kids, and their kids were our kids, and all kids were the same.
It wasn't enough to lead the Tornadoes to victory. As expected, Grapevine Faith won 33-14, and the Tornadoes finished the season 0-9. But it didn't matter, because for the first time in a long time, someone was in their corner, and that alone was worth celebrating.
I was like, hey, y'all, this is going to be close, man. I don't care if we lost tonight, man, because I was feeling good.
I feel like we were losing the Super Bowl championship game or something. Like, we won that. I mean, winning, like, in our heart, spiritual-wise, I mean, we won.
I've been in state championships of different kinds, and if nothing was like this, nothing.
Isaiah and the rest of the Tornadoes will never forget the feelings they had on that night. And while it didn't erase the mistakes they've made, it showed 14 teenagers that regardless of the bad things they've done in their past, there was reason to look ahead.
I cried. After the game, I went back to my room, I cried. I think that your family ain't the only ones that love you. God ain't the only one that love you. Other people love you too.
This is what I was hoping and praying would happen. I hope that it gave them hope.
I see the world in a different way now. I mean, I don't just see, like, I'm the victim no more. So much love, because, you know, I came from a broken home family. So, I mean, having all that love, it just rose my spirits up.
They got to be kids that night. They got to be a teenager. Experience Friday Night Football in Texas.
That's cool. You think it made a difference in those kids' lives? Yeah, sure did. Will they ever forget it? I don't think so. And I think as they grow up and grow older, and they will be released one day, that because of someone did for them, how someone refreshed their spirits, don't you think they're going to pass it on to others? It just changes the whole tenor of that community. You see, when we become refreshers, we can do this. And that last bullet point there, we can pass it on. That whatever the Lord has refreshed us with, let's pass it on to those around us. And not only a sense of encouragement, but look at what 1 Corinthians says there. Paul again is writing. He said, I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. I want you to have a chance to acknowledge people around you. In your bulletin is a blank note sheet here. I hope you didn't use it to take notes of this message. If you need an extra one, let me know. We can get you more copies of this. But I want you to do some homework. If you know of someone in your life that has refreshed you, that has been an encourager in your life, acknowledge them. Write them a note. Thank them for what they've done for you and the difference that they've made in your life. Or if you know of someone who needs a word of encouragement, be a refresher. Write them a note. Tell them about the love of God. Tell them about how much He cares. Send a note of encouragement to someone around you. Because I think that if we can do that as a church, man, this place would be a better place to live. This state indeed can become the first Christian state in the nation. I believe we can be a church like that. Do you? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Do you pray with me as we conclude? Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, first of all, for being the refresher of our souls, for being one who has filled our hearts and encouraged us every step along the way, even when we felt down and out, Lord. When we've come from our past and we've felt ourselves being chained to our sins and failures, Lord, you've come and you've released us from that. You've allowed us now to live in freedom. Freedom knowing that your grace has always covered our lives, where you've come and you've died for our sins to set us on a path of a future and a hope. Lord, that has filled our hearts so much that we've become refreshed with your spirit of living water. Father, I pray that you allow us now to refresh the souls of others around us to indeed be an encourager of our family, of our workplace, wherever we may be. That it'll be you who is working through us to bring a sense of refreshment to those around. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, let me ask you a question. There may be some of you who have not yet received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Some of you have been searching the world for really a true friend. And there will be times where people you thought were going to be on your side walked away. Can I invite you to join hands with someone who is, I found to be my best friend. He's never failed me. He's never left me. He's always been there, toughest times in my life. And he's allowed me to step forward, not to slide backwards. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you want to make him your own personal friend and your best friend, your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you right now, just raise a hand. No one's looking around. By doing so, you're saying, yes, that's me. Lord, would you come into my heart right here in front? God bless you guys here. The side here. Keep your hands up. Young man back there. Right here in the middle. Good. Right in the middle. Good. God bless you. Keep your hands up so the Lord can see your hearts. Right here. On the side here. Good. Right here on the side. Yeah, up on top. God sees your hearts there. Right there in the back. You put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I need to be more of an encourager of people around me. Lord, would you fill my heart? Allow me, when I walk into a room, to refresh the spirits around, to refresh the hearts of those who may be lost and may be searching, whether it be in school or, Lord, wherever you place me, let me be an Onesiphorus to those around. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? Yeah, a lot of us can do that. Would you put your hands down? I'm going to say a prayer, and if you've never said this before, say it with all your heart. If you said it before, say it with all your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I live for you. Help me to be a refresher of those around me. And now I say this so I can hear myself. So you can hear me, so those around can hear, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior, my personal friend. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, that's the prayer of our hearts. Let us leave now different from when we came in, Lord. Let us refresh your world for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you seal that to your heart now?
I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are, Jesus. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are, Jesus.
God bless you. Have a great week. Would you encourage someone this week? Go ahead.
I will worship you for who you are.